sopra catalabis. Leberino indo ilobis. If you don't, you're going to not true. So you will fast, you will pray until the Lord gives you a name. Somebody has a car, and what's the guarantee in the next 6 months you still have that car? No man that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life. See, when a king is located, it's either a throne is created or a throne is vacated. When there's opposition, when there's pressure, you should be excited. Let pressure provoke you. Most of the battles you will face in life will happen here. Active. He said, every man press it into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something will happen to you in this service. Hallelujah. 2020, pastor has been saying it. It's not a normal year. Hallelujah. It's a unique decade. Hallelujah. It's a unique decade. It's starting of a new decade. It means no business as usual. Hallelujah. I know you can't be living as though, okay, I still have time. You know, I was discussing with some young people. I said, you will think you have time. Then we're saying, oh, before we get to this age, we'll do this, we'll do this. I'm telling you, if you do nothing aggressive about it, the years will just pass. Whether or not things you say you are going to do before you got to this age. Hallelujah. Some of them, you have even forgotten that you said you are going to do something like this. But it means there's an aggression. Hallelujah. I'm going to share something briefly on running with prophecies. Hallelujah. Running with prophecies. Hallelujah. You can write it down. Running with prophecies. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. What are prophecies? They are spirit-inspired sayings or speakings. Inspired by God for the now. God's intent, what is about to do now. Inspired by the Holy Ghost. Released by the mouth of the prophet. It says, discharge and admonition. Give me King James. Discharge. I commit unto thee, son Timothy. He said, this mandate I'm giving unto you, this responsibility, I'm committing it to you, Timothy. That's what he's saying. He says, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So the wars have been released. The prophecies are released already. You know, and most times early in the year like these prophecies, there's multiplication of prophecies. Hallelujah. The Lord will tell you something. We just had 5 days of glory 2 days ago. There are a lot of prophecies I've written down already. But do you know you have your part to play? Do you know you have a responsibility to ensure it is fulfilled? That's why he's saying this charge, this command I'm giving unto you, Timothy. He says, use them as weapons. Use these prophecies as weapons. Use them as leverage. Write upon these words I've spoken. You know, one of the frustrations in the body of Christ is the fact is unfulfilled prophecies. They released those words, you went under the anointing, you knew that, yes, this word was for me. The year came and passed, nothing. You think the fault is from God? No. Most times, people, they don't position themselves to carry out their own responsibility. Their own mandate in the fulfilling of prophecies. And they say something significant. They say you use them to war. Wow. It means there's going to be contention against the fulfillment of those prophecies. Hallelujah. There's going to be contention. He said, use them. Use them. Once God said something, you have the mandate to run with it. Any word spoken to you, by the mouth of the prophet, or you're studying and a scripture just leaped out into your spirit, you have the responsibility of running with it. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. That's what we hear. There are territories you're meant to take over. But you see, there are giants there. There are already people occupying those territories. There are people there. They told you, oh, you're going to conquer the media world. Or they told you, you're going to conquer the fashion world. The prophecies have gone forth. Some of those territories have people occupying there already. Hallelujah. So there's a strong man in every territory. It says no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods and plunder his goods. He said, except he binds the strong man. What is he showing you? There is war. Hallelujah. I want to bring your attention to the fact that you are going to contend for certain things this year. Hallelujah. You will not sit down in your house for things to fall from heaven. You will go out and contend for what is yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With these weapons, with these prophecies that have been released, you will go out and bid for your share. Bid for your portion. When this ministry started in this town, it was as if we're nowhere. Nobody knew about us. It was as if they dug the ground and put us inside when we started church. Hallelujah. We say, oh, you want to invite your neighbor to the embassy? We say, okay, which church is that? Is that Christ's embassy? Or is this thing? But now you are confident to invite somebody. So what church is it? The embassy of heaven. Hallelujah. We pressed. There is a pressing. Lagabaya, there is a pressing. There was war. There was contention. There was fight. Fight to break forth. Fight. Hallelujah. So it's the same thing for you. There's going to be contention. I'm telling you, there's going to be contention. The devil knows. Because he has positioned people in the marketplace. Because the truth is, there are more demons in the marketplace than in church. We have chased all the demons from church. Hallelujah. Yes. So you will go and meet them there. So those of you that are called into the marketplace. So there will be contention. You cannot go there with a passive mindset. You cannot go there passively thinking things will fall down in pleasant places for you like that. You need to contend for certain things. Hallelujah. So you must bind the strong man before you spoil his goods. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. And then let me say this. The fight we engage in is the fight of faith. Hallelujah. In running with prophecies, the fight we engage in is the fight of faith. That's why 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. It says, lay hold. So there's a contention. You have your responsibility of fighting. Hallelujah. It's your responsibility to fight. Fight of faith. Because the victory has been won already. You know, there are people that say, oh, the victory has been won. So they just relax. There's nothing to contend for again. If God has said it, it is done. It is done, it is done. It is done does not mean it is done. I don't know if you understand what I just said. Hallelujah. Give me that Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. This was the Lord speaking to the children of Israel and Moses. He says, rise ye up, take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. What did he say next? I can't hear you. What is he saying? And what? So imagine God spoke to you directly. You heard the voice of the Lord in your room. He said, I have given to you this mountain. He said, I have done this. I have done this. You know, a lot of people know what they'll run with it. They'll run with that first part. Yes, the Lord told me, he has given me this mountain. The Lord told me, he has given me this mountain. The Lord told me, he's going to do this. He's going to do this. He's going to do this. And they run with it like that. He says, begin to possess it. Hi. Labagada. Begin to possess. He said, and contend with him in battle. Contend with him in battle. Because he knows the king will not release the possession willingly. There must be show and display of superior power. He said, begin to possess it. Begin to contend with him. That's an instruction. Hallelujah. So it's your responsibility to contend. Aye. It's your responsibility. And you know, when we talk about fight, a lot of people avoid, you know, this thing. Talk about fight. No, grace has made a lot of things available. You see, that's the thing again. When you don't get the balanced gospel, is the problem. It's a problem. Ephesians talked about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What is he saying? Against what? Principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Let me tell you, there are certain territories when you enter, the devil will come for you. They will know that somebody is trying to push. They will know. And then you have to be positioned. You have to contend. I'm telling you. There's a realm of influence you will enter. I'm telling you, you cannot be on the borderline. You have to take side. You have to take side and declare where you belong. So he said, begin to contend. What is looking like a promised land to you? God is saying, I have given it to you. He said, I've given it to you. But he said, begin to possess it. Begin to contend. Arm yourself with these prophecies and use them. That's what he's saying. Now, give me the next verse. It says something significant there. He now said, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations. Ha! Do you know that this scripture is connected to the next verse, to the previous verse? So as you go out to contend, as you go out to possess, he said, I will put the dread. Do you know what dread is? It means terror. When you go to contend, they will be so afraid of you. When you go to take over, they will be afraid of you. He said, the dread, the terror, and the fear of you upon the nations. It means when they notice, when they hear that you are coming, they will take off. They will take off. They will take off. So I want to bring your consciousness to know that those things that were spoken concerning you, you have a responsibility of running with it. And you cannot be passive about it. You can't. You can't. You apply. They rejected you. You apply. They rejected you. What are you going to do about it? Do you know, in different phases of our life, there's a battle, there's contention. How many of you agree with what I just said? At every phase of your life. And you see, don't worry, I'm going to talk about areas where this battle takes place so that you'll be very conscious of it. But at every phase, have you not discovered that there are certain areas of your life, it's as if you've been trying to push, to probably to sow this amount of money. For where you get close, you go back again. You will get close, you go back again. At a point, you're just sowing, you could not sow up to 10,000 naira. Then at a point, between 10,000 and 50,000, no matter how you try, you just could not get across 50,000. Then you broke 50,000. To reach 100,000 was a problem. At every phase, you will need to fight and insist. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see that scripture, if you fulfill your own part, he said, begin to possess it. He said, contend with him in battle, contend. Then the Lord will put the fear, the terror of you among the nations. Hallelujah. In that territory, in the marketplace, in the pulpit ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, how many of you know that when a king is located, when a king is born, or a king is identified, Do you know that a throne must be created for him? Did you get what I just said? See, when a king is located, it's either a throne is created or a throne is vacated. That's what happened in the marketplace. It's either you enter there and they create space for you to enter, or somebody must live there. Malaga Dalaba. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay, to this town, it was as if there was no space. But space was created for us. You're entering territories. You are not the first to do what you want to do. Fashion business. Are you the first to start fashion? You want to do cooking business. Are you the first to start cooking business? There are people that have done cooking business and have closed shop. Why? There was no space created for them. And nobody was willing to vacate. You know, this is not a function of packaging. It's not a function of how well you are looking. Legal part. You need to know the laws in place. You need to know how to contend to create your space. Every area, I'm telling you, in your family, in ministry, in academy, you need to contend to create your space. You want to go into business, into marketing business, or into importation. You're not the first. You're not the first. So how do you create your space? You know that there's contention involved. Especially in Africa, that small progress, somebody is jealous. Do you understand? Small progress. Small result, somebody is angry with you already. Small result, somebody is not happy with you. They just lent you, you sent for some numbers of bottles, or you purchased this amount of this, and somebody is already angry. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, in those industries, we have what we call strong men there. There are strong men there. I'm telling you. When God gave the children of Israel the land of Canaan, he gave them with giants inside. With human beings, giants inside. So what's your responsibility? You drive out the giants and occupy. That's all. That's what he's saying. You know what I'm saying is, some of you this year are believing God for terrible things. And you know those things are not things that you casually just walk, stroll into it. No. 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 There's a contention involved. You need to contend to displace the strong man there, unless space be created for you. Hallelujah. Hi, there's somebody else. Space must be created for you. I'm telling you, that business you've been trying to push to the next level, space must be created for you. And for somebody has sat there and I said, let me see how it's going to reach this level. Those people will be displaced on your behalf. I'm telling you, they will. But I want to awake you to this consciousness that you will need to push, you need to press into these things. And it's actively. Hallelujah. So when a king is born, either a throne is created for him or it is vacated. So you need to apply it to your own life. In certain areas, it's as if competition is so much. It's as if there are people in key places. They are the ones that decide what happens. Hallelujah. Now let me just say something. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. You know, Paul likened the believer. He compared the believer to three things or three professions. Let me put it that way. As a soldier, that's one. Two, as an athlete. Then three, as a farmer. So in your life, you must assume these positions so that you know what to do at every phase of your life. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers, what do? They fight, right? They stand their ground and they fight, right? They take over territories, right? Yes. So there are seasons of your life you know that, man, this time is war. It's seasons of war. I have to stand my ground. I have to insist and stand my ground. You just have to know. You know. You know. Hallelujah. Next verse. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, with civilians' affairs. Civilian affairs. You're a soldier and you're walking around like civilian. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be taking over territories and you're strolling. That he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. So, you must learn to take your stand. Next verse. And if a man strive for mastery, is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Okay. No. Is that the same scripture? Okay. Okay, go ahead. The husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruits. Okay, next verse. Okay, this the same. Okay, go back again to verse 3. I want to read the portion that talked about a farmer and an athlete. I think it's the same scripture. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, let me look at it here. Verse 5. Can you put, and if any man, and if a man also strive for mastery, there's a version that talked about an athlete. NIV, right? Put it there. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, yes, as an athlete, that's the second one. He does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. So an athlete, what does an athlete do? Run, right? An athlete runs, right? Runs, isn't it? Yes. So that's the second thing, an athlete. Next verse. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. So, farmer. So you are meant to scatter seeds. Sowing. You know, as I was just meditating on this, the Holy Ghost was just bringing my mind to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. You know, Ephesians has 6 chapters, right? The first 3 chapters talked about our seated position with Christ, right? In the place of rest, okay, all has been done, you know. Hallelujah. Grace. Talked about grace. And the Holy Ghost was comparing it to the farmer. I still don't have the perfect understanding, but I'm still studying to understand what he's saying. Then the next 2 chapters, 4 and 5, talked about our work. Our conduct among men and our work with God. And that's what it compares to the athlete. Then the last one that talks about warfare compared to soldier. Hallelujah. So at every phase of your life, you know, there are people that have gone extreme. They tell you, no, forget about this. All this. God has done everything. They've been saying it and nothing has been happening. They've been saying it. I'm telling you. You know, hyper grace, something, right? They've been saying it and nothing has been happening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I know someone here is thinking, must there be giants that will leave these territories before I ascend? Let me tell you, if you dodge your Goliath, no throne. If you dodge your Goliath, there's no throne. Except you want to do small things. You want to end small. If you dodge your Goliath, no throne. When there's opposition, when there's pressure, you should be excited. Let pressure provoke you. As things are getting hard, let it provoke you. Things are not working. Be provoked. Be angry. Be provoked. Be restless. Hallelujah. Be provoked. I don't say you see soldiers, they are happy. When they talk about war, it's as if there's an excitement that comes upon them. They know it's an opportunity to take over territories. It's an opportunity to push. Hallelujah. Be excited. Be provoked in your spirit. Why am I saying all this? See, prophecies will keep this month. Let me tell you, it's practically a month of prophecies coming forth. Some of you have been writing them already. You started writing them. It's time to run with them. Don't wait till June. To pray emergency prayer. No. You run with them from the beginning. Until you start seeing these things. until the pictures are clear and they start producing results in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I wrote certain things down. Tools, you can write it down. Tools or platform for running with these prophecies that we talked about. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing you can write, which is what we are doing already. We are fasting and we are praying. You contend in the place of prayer. That's number one. In the place of prayer. It means this year, the things you want to see, you cannot separate it from prayers. And you see, the thing about prayer is, when you see your neighbor doing well, and it's as though he's not praying like you, you know, there's this thing, you just feel, are you sure this thing is by praying? Let me tell you, it's by praying. I'm telling you, there's a tendency, you just think, are you sure this thing is by praying? It's by praying. You see, people's methods are different. The fact that somebody is looking sharp and his head is fried now does not mean he's not going to be stressed in the next 6 months. You don't know how the person is going to look in the next 6 months. That's why the external cannot move you. Should not be something that moves you into jealousy and into competition. Somebody has a car, and what's the guarantee in the next 6 months you still have that car? What's the guarantee that you will not sell the car because you need to pay house rent? Or because you need to pay school fees? I'm telling you. So, fasting and prayer. Let me tell you, these things I'm telling you about. Not that I advise myself, say, hey, I know this person is not praying like, do I pray? If it's about prayer, I know I pray more than this person. But I know this person has result. And I advise myself again, oh God, calm down, continue your prayers. Just continue your prayers. The scripture says when the clouds are full of rain, what do you say? They empty themselves. It's not, just fill up the cloud, that's all. Keep filling the clouds. And that's why most people in church, they compare themselves with the people in the world. They say, okay, this guy doesn't go to church. He just understands how to do this, how to do this, how to do this. You see, privileges are different too. Pastor said it yesterday. Parental privileges, I'm telling you, it's real. Someone's grandfather is a preacher. There are battles that have been fought and won already. Do you understand? Whether they pray, whether they don't pray, things are just going to fall in pleasant places for them. Things will work for them. But you are coming from a home where your dad is an occultic man. Lagabadas. It means the battle is on your head. Or your grandfather is a practitioner. Hallelujah. You understand what I mean by a practitioner, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Some of us came from a home where our granddad, like my grandfather, was a strong man. Do you understand? When I say a strong man, you know what I mean by a strong man. So I cannot be casual about life. I can't. So that's why them comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. People's platforms or people's methods or how God will get to them or how God will do things for them are different, totally different. Yours is totally different. That's why you cannot envy your neighbor. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 32. In the place of prayer and fasting, in the place of fasting and prayer, you pray primarily to see, to know, to hear what the Lord wants you to do. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, instructions will come. As you wait on the Lord. You know, I told you the other day, see, there is speed in waiting. There is speed in waiting. The Bible says, Jacob also went on his way and the angel of the Lord met him. Remember the story, right? When Jacob saw them, he said, this is the camp of God. So he named that place Mahanaim. No. Genesis verse 24. This was when Jacob wrestled with the angel. Hallelujah. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So this is a sign of contention. He contended with the angel. and prevailed, the Bible said. Of course, you know it's not physical fight. A human being cannot fight an angel. If one angel, took over 195,000 persons, right, in the camp of the Assyrian, right, over one night. So a person cannot fight with angel. Do you understand? It's not physical fight. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Next verse. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Hi. So you can pray until there's a note of victory. Next verse. The man asked, "What is your name?" Jacob, he answered. Do you know what the meaning of Jacob? What's the meaning of Jacob? Supplanter. What's the meaning of supplanter? Deceiver, right? Deceiver. How can they be calling somebody deceiver, deceiver? Imagine someone strolling and they say, "Deceiver, come." That's what it was called. Oh. He said, the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." You know, Israeli prince. Prince. He changed his name. So you will fast, you will pray until the Lord gives you a name. Until the Lord gives you a name. Continue. He said, for a prince, the scripture, please. Next verse, please. Just give us King James. Don't alter the versions, all right? Hallelujah. Please, just go back. And Jacob called the name of the... No, go back. The name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. That's what I want you to get. And hast prevailed. So he prevailed. If you go to Hosea chapter 12, right, it tells us that he made supplications. It was prayers. It means he prevailed in the place of prayer. He prevailed. So fasting and praying, there is contention there. You can contend in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. So that's number one. Number two. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people have played down on the word of God. You know, this is the reason why a lot of people, when they receive prophetic word, they just go and think things will just happen like that. They don't study the word to hear instructions. They don't pray, you know, and then chasing prophet, going from houses to houses, prayer houses. Why? Prophesy, prophet, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. And most of them have a lot of prophecies hanging on their head. Hallelujah. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, talked about the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is what? The word of God. Hallelujah. So you can use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the promises. Some of them will come as God inspires certain things in your heart. Some will come as you study. And that's why nothing can take the place of the studying of God's word, not even prayer. I'm telling you. Because this is the raw material. So you need a combination of prayer. You need a combination of the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, most times, you know, anytime I sit here and I hear the word of God, I said, these things as if it's the same thing. It's just that either it's repackaged in a way, but it's still the same thing. It's still the same thing. Prayers, the word of God, these are the same thing, though. The same thing. I'm telling you. There are certain principles when you practice, but you can never fail. Praying the Holy Ghost, fasting, studying God's word, sowing your seed, service, you cannot fail. You can't. So I'm not dwelling much on that. So the word of the Lord is a tool. Number three, your mind. Your mind is a very strong tool. A strong tool. And most of the battles you will face in life will happen in your mind. It will happen in your mind. In your mind. Project 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6. Some of you, prophecies have come, a millennial prophecy, but in your mind, you are still a thousandaire. Is there a word like that? Hallelujah. You can't, it will not happen. See, you don't understand. See, you've heard that the children of Israel limited God. The Bible said they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Where? In their mind. Your mind can stop a prophecy from fulfilling. From fulfillment. Your mind is a strong tool, I'm telling you. It says, for though we live in the world, King James, please. Hallelujah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Next verse. He says, casting down imaginations, image formations, pictures, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It means you will fight against thoughts. You will fight against terrible pictures in your mind. You will fight against imaginations. And this, I'm telling you, this is the greatest battleground. The greatest battleground, I believe, is your mind. That of the devil is just for you to have the revelation and know how to use your authority. That's all. But your mind, constantly. There's sometimes you're just walking, one thought comes, you wonder where the thought came from. Do you know that demons, devil, they sow thoughts in the heart of people? People that commit suicide, you think they just woke up and just thought about going to hang themselves. It came as thoughts. It came as thoughts. And do you know that sometimes we act, oh Jesus Christ, do you know your actions, but we can trace it to your thoughts. Do you know what thoughts are? They produce feelings. When the thoughts are sufficient enough, they produce feeling. Before you know, it's as if you start feeling this way. And then it prompts you to action. That's why I said, a lot of people, I think I was doing counseling, I was telling some people, I said, when we're growing up, there are certain thoughts that were planted into our hearts unconsciously, that is now becoming your default state. The way you act were connected to the thoughts you received. It's a programming. Let me tell you, every child that comes into this world comes very innocent, knows nothing. Do you understand? So the things they see, it start forming thought pattern, it start forming programming in their heart. That's why they said, a child that cannot see and cannot hear, do you know, will not be able to speak? Did you get what I just said? Because the mirror is mirror. It's mirror effect. What they see is what they do. What they hear is what they say. So you can't see, you can't hear. That's all. So those programming, when you're growing up, let me take one example. Let's say finance. You grew up in an environment with abject poverty. There was lack. There was always no money. Hallelujah. It became part of your programming. When you grew up, it became a mindset. Before you knew, that's how you were living. Some of you that are saying, no, this is how I am. Sorry, that's not how you are. It was a programming when you were small. It was a programming. It's not yours. It's not your thought. Somebody planted it there. And you didn't know, because then it was unconscious. It became part of you unconsciously. So you started living it out. That's why when people say, no, me, I'm just like this. Sorry, you're not like that. I'm telling you, it's a programming. Your environment added to it. Your parents added to it. Yes. I'll tell somebody about money. I said, what will happen if you grow up in an environment where you don't think about food? There's money for food. There's food everywhere. You don't think about house rent, because there's always money to take about. You don't think about car. There are always cars available. You don't think about school fees, everything related to money. And I said, will you think about money? If all these things, if you grew up in this environment, would you think about, hey, okay, I need to make money. What would you think about? Do you think about money in terms of need? No. Do you know you now have more direction or purpose why you want to make money? You know, that's what happened in Africa. We grew up with those programming. So we didn't know. It was as though our pursuit for money is need dependent. See, your mind is the strongest tool. Let me tell you, there are prophecies upon you that will never be fulfilled until your mind has been expanded to accommodate it. It's as simple as it is. Because God knows there are certain monies, if you enter your hand, it might kill you. I'm telling you. No, I'm telling you, God is not unjust. I'm telling you, that's the truth. He knows that this person will backslide if this money enters his hand. Come on, how many million? 10 million enters your hand. You're no longer coming to church. You're not among those that come for workers' meeting again. You know, we are the supporters. We are friends of the ministry. Yes. See, don't assume. I'm telling you, there are people that's how they are, their state. You just see your tithe is too big for church. And we're saying this thing so that you understand. Because God already sees the end from the beginning. So he knows your action. He knows your motivation. He knows what's in your heart. Like I said, you cannot carry a mindset of someone that is still dealing with thousands and then enter into millions like that. You need to upgrade your mind. You need to renovate your mind. I'm telling you, that's where, see, if there's anything you... Upgrading your mind is your major responsibility. Nobody will do it for you. Hallelujah. So there's an equivalent mental renovation required for the fulfillment of those words. Words that have been spoken, there's an equivalent mental renovation required. So ask yourself. Probably say you're going to get married this year. You know, you cannot run. Oh, Jesus Christ. Do you know that you cannot run successful marriage on prophecies? Run with prophecy and get married and see. If you don't have a problem. Without understanding how to run marriage. So you must go for counseling. You must understand. You must develop character. If you don't have it, you can't run it. Does it mean there was no prophecy? No, it was there. So if you are still waiting, you are going to get my amen. You have been believing. Have you developed the right character that will sustain that marriage? It's the same thing. Then you are going to make millions this year, in the marketplace, this, that, that. Do you have the same mental amplitude to sustain it? You know, when I was doing house job, I had, that when we were trading, I had monies up to 1. Something million then. But you see, the issue was, now I understood why I lost that money. No, I'm telling you, it's fact. No, I'm telling you. And I thank God it did, because it taught me something. My mind had not developed to the level where it could handle it. And so it did not stay. It did not stay. There are certain things, but let me tell you, if you can't handle certain things, but just let me tell you, your mind has not developed to the level where it can handle it. It's just simple. This one is not a function of prayer, fasting, or declaration. No, it's here. It's in the mind. It's in the mind. That's what the scripture says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovation of your mind. Be committed to daily renewal of your mind. Expand the amplitude of your mind. There are things that I know now that with millions in my hand, I cannot. It's not possible. He said that if you're a billionaire, you must know about economics, you must know about politics, you must know about gold, you must know about you must have vast knowledge. It's not an assumption. It's not just you just know about prayer and fasting. No. You must know how economy works in the world system. I'm telling you, you must know. Look at all the billionaires around. Do you know what they know? It's not an assumption, I'm telling you. So you must be given to renewal of your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be committed. What are the requirements? Ask yourself. Lord, this one has come to me. What's my part? What do I need to do? Do I need to buy certain books in this area? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? What do I need to do? Do I need to sow my seed? You hear instructions, you will know what to do. Because they are part of your responsibility. Don't forget, it's a mandate for you to run, to use these prophecies to fulfill them. It's a mandate God has given to you. Hallelujah. So that's number 3. Then number 4, your faith prompted actions. Hallelujah. Faith prompted actions. Have you seen a farmer that has planted, there was rainfall and everything, and is now have and sleeps in his house to wait for the harvest to come and meet him? What the scripture says, he that sleeps in times of harvest, you see, it's a disgrace to his father. I say, in the scripture again. Hi. You sleep in time of harvest. See, you are a disgrace to your father. I'm telling you, there are certain harvests. Harvest is not passive. It is active. And the Lord will quicken your heart. You will know when you need to go there. You will know when you need to confront those people because it's time to act. You will know. Know that the Bible says in James chapter 2, a lot of scriptures, they're talking about faith without corresponding action, without works, is dead. Alone. Faith alone. And I told you, the difference between faith and belief is, faith is acting on what you believe. That's my simple definition. It means if you remove action from faith, it's no longer faith, it's belief. Hallelujah. If you remove the element of action, it's just belief. There's no faith. This year, insist this year. Hallelujah. Insist this year. Insist. Go for your share. Bid for your portion. Press into all that God has for you. Do you understand? Insist. 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 And let me tell you, as you start doing this, oppositions will come. Hallelujah. We all know that oppositions are real, right? Oppositions will come. Let me tell you, lastly, before I end, the 3 ways oppositions come. One, they come as gates. Remember Isaiah 45? Talked about Isaiah 45 verse 1. God said the Lord of hosts to Cyrus, right? He's anointed. He said, whose hand have held to have hold and to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of king to open one before him. He said, the 2 lead gates. And the gates shall not be shut. Some of you, there are gates before you. And those gates must be opened. So oppositions comes as gates. Are you with me? As gates. And they must be opened. That's why here you say, oh, the gate of the city is open to me. The gate of this territory is open to me. The gate to this business is open to me. They are gates. And gates are landmarks. They are gates. They are specific points of which you have to ensure they are open. Now the scripture says your gates shall be continually, shall be open continually. Continually. It means there are people that their gates are closed. Then there are those that their gates are continually open. So learn to discern oppositions that come as gates. Number 2, they come as walls. Remember Proverbs 18, right? Or is this Psalm 18? Verse 28, 29, right? That I say, by my God, I have what? Run through it, man. By him, I have what? Leaped over walls. Verse 29, I have leaped over walls. So there are oppositions that act as walls. You come to a place as if there's a wall. There's no road. It's walls everywhere. Walls. What do you do? You leap. Hallelujah. You leap over walls. Then he already showed you this, the third one. He said, I have run through a troop. Troop. Where are people lined? Where are people organized in strategic formation, right? And they are forming like a wall. That's troop. What did he say? He said, run through. There are oppositions you must run through this day. How many of you are with me? You run through them. Some of them are people in places of authority that have declared that you will not get to this level. He said you will run through them. You will run through them. So in your life this year, as you go through the year, learn to discern oppositions that comes as gates, those that come as walls, and those that come as troops. They are opposing the church. What happened to him? Angels smote him. Hallelujah. What happened in the next verse? The Bible says, and the word of the Lord multiplied. So there are oppositions that must be leveled for you to make progress. Hallelujah. Just pray in the spirit for 1 minute. La pakata la gada la basha gata la bay. Levredos imbate. There are some of you that likopata. Certain oppositions must be leveled before you this year. Ah, likopata. You know, you have tried to push and to push and push. And it's as if there is a strong opposition.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.